You can stay in that spirit of praise. You can stay in that spirit of praise. Somebody continue to give God praise for just a few more moments. Can we rise to our feet? The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Is anybody glad to be in the house of God? So can we show it with the clapping of our hands, with the lifting of our voices, that we celebrate this God that we're privileged to serve? Well, as stated, my name is Pastor Justin Watkins. It is an esteemed pleasure and honor to share in worship with such a fine congregation. Would you give yourselves a round of applause, please?
Welcome.
Is it okay if I get comfortable? I'm going to move this out the way just a little bit so we can just enjoy ourselves. To those who are of the clergy here, to the reverends, the ministers, the deacons, saints, and friends, we bring you greetings from Passion Church. On behalf of myself, my family, the Passion Church family, we say good morning. Good morning, Passion Church. I see some folks here. Can we celebrate Passion? This is our family and our church, and God is doing an awesome work there. I'm not going to be before you long, but since you're already standing, look at somebody and say, it's so good to see you. So good to see you. And as you're greeting your neighbor, could you do me a favor? Grab your Bibles. We're going to go quickly to the word of the Lord. You can go to the book of Luke. Luke 19, and you can remain standing if you don't mind. As we prepare for the word of the Lord, I want to say thank you so much to a few key people that allowed this opportunity to be possible. Deacon Scott, I don't know if he's in the building, but I've been talking. Okay, awesome. God bless you. God bless you. I've been talking to you all week, hadn't put a face with the name, but thank you for the invitation, Dr. Pierce Mobley. My dear family member and friend, I call her Auntie Marvine. God bless you. So good to see you. I'll start calling out names and get in trouble, so I will stop. But so good to see Mr. Larry Lash. I'm going to stop because I'll get in trouble. But I'm just so grateful for this time, grateful for the gathering of the saints, grateful to be in the presence of God. We could be anywhere else, but God saw fit for us to be in his house this morning. And for that, I am extremely grateful. To my beautiful wife, I'm going to say it again. You can't brag on your wife enough. I hope y'all understand that. To my beautiful wife, Jessica Marie, and my babies, and my mom, and Passion Church, I love you all. So let's go to the word of the Lord. Luke 19, we'll begin at verse 28. Luke 19, we'll begin at verse 28. And if you would indulge me, I am from the inner city in Columbus, I'll be honest. And so I still just keep a few urban colloquialisms. When you have the scripture, would you mind indulging me by just saying word?
Word.
Word. Okay, amen. I feel more at home now. I feel a little bit more at home now. Luke 19, verses 28 through 38. I got it right here. And it reads, when he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet that he sent two of his disciples saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you why you are loosing it, thus you shall say unto him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he said to them. But as they were loosing the coat, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the coat? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they drew their own clothes and threw them on the coat, and they sat Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude, the disciples, began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Let's run over to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27 very quickly, and I believe it'll be on your screens as well. Very simple verse, but so profound. It reads, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. For a few brief moments, I want you to announce the title of this sermon to your neighbor. Can you just look somebody square in the eye and say, the Lord has need of you? Look to the other person that was your second option and say, the Lord has need of you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you. We thank you. God, we stand on holy ground prepared to preach this word as you have given it. God, I ask that your voice would be so much louder than mine. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Have your way in this place in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As you take your seat, say one more time, the Lord has need of you. And so this is a thought-provoking idea that the Lord has need of you. Some people in this room may be under the impression that your calling does not matter to God. You may have drawn into a place of reclusion where you believe what I have to give is not worth anything. But I want you to understand what God has placed on the inside of you is valuable. And God says, I have need of you. So if you study the book of Luke, one of my favorite books in all of the synoptic gospels, if you've studied the gospels, you have found that each writer reveals a distinct nature about Jesus. Woven into the fabric of their accurate accounts are revelations of who he is and what he means to us all. So just as Matthew portrays Jesus as king and the book of Mark portrays Jesus as servant, the book of Luke portrays Jesus as the Son of Man. And we find that this title, the Son of Man, is one of Jesus' favorite titles to be referenced as. And we encounter Jesus in his humanity through this title. And so many of us have heard of Jesus as the Son of God. That echoes of his divinity. But then we see Jesus as the Son of Man, and this portrays his humanity. So most famous among those who are unique to the book of Luke was a man and a tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus. And I'm sure many of you have heard of this man. Zacchaeus was a man who was short in stature. And he was a tax collector. And the thing about tax collectors during this time is they had a tendency to overcompensate for their collections. Sometimes they would take a little bit extra just to pad their pockets. And they were not the most favorite people in their communities. So Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And the Bible says he heard that Jesus was coming into town. And Zacchaeus took it upon himself to climb up into a tree so that he could see Jesus approaching. How many know that sometimes you have to go the extra mile to see Jesus? You have to go the extra mile to encounter Jesus. Sometimes you have to get to a place where you can see him clearly. Sometimes you have to climb out of depression. You have to climb out of insecurity. You have to climb out of the guilt and the shame that the enemy puts on your life so that you can get to an elevated posture to see Jesus. And so the Bible says Jesus saw Zacchaeus from the tree and he called him down out of the tree. And he said, you know what? I'm going to have dinner at your house. Do you know the religious leaders of the day, they were furious. They said, how dare this Jesus have dinner with a notorious sinner? Some folks don't want to see God work in your life. Some people are not happy that God loves you and rocks with you the way that he does. But how many know it doesn't matter to God? God says, I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to love you anyhow. I'll still do a work in your life. So the Bible says when Zacchaeus encountered Jesus, he began offering repentance and regret for the things that he had done in his tax collecting business. And Jesus stopped him in the middle of it. And he said, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a son of Abraham. And I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and save those who are lost. To seek and save those who are lost. I want you to remember that. Luke portrays Jesus as God's ideal man who offers salvation to all humanity, both Jew and Gentile alike. Now, why is this detail important? This is important because Luke, if you study the book of Luke, and if you study Luke as a person and as a character in Scripture, Luke is not a Jewish man. Luke is both a Greek and a Gentile Christian. He is, in fact, the only Gentile writer in the New Testament. And so what he represents for us is hope. He represents for us the expansion of the gospel. For if it was not for Luke preaching and if it was not for him understanding that Jesus was not just for the Jewish community, we would not know that we had access to the kingdom the way that we do. And so this man, a Gentile man, is presenting the gospel in a powerful way, letting us know that the Messiah, though he has Jewish heritage, though he was grown and brought up in Jewish law, he is indeed for all people. So Luke would have never been qualified enough to present this gospel. If it were left up to people, he would have never been qualified enough to write this accurate account of Jesus. But I'm so glad that God does not allow us to be hindered by the opinions of other people. God does not allow us to be restricted by the judgments of other people. God will use you even if you're not the public favorite. God will use you even if you're not everybody's favorite person. God can still use you just as he did with Luke. So God places no limits on us because of where we're from. Whether you're from the right or wrong side of the tracks, God said, I'll use you. Come on, whether you're a part of the haves or the have-nots, God says, I will use you. And so we see this with Luke, who is such a prolific orator. Luke, because of his background as a physician, is very meticulous with how he presents the accurate account of Christ. He is intentional, he is well examined, he is thorough, and he presents Jesus in such a way that none of the other gospels do. So this is where we see God breaking the mold with Luke, a Gentile author coming into the New Testament, presenting Jesus in a brand new way. Well, let's go to our text. We'll look at the first set of scripture, Luke 19, verse 28 through 31. In this portion of scripture, we see that God loves to use the overlooked, the weak, and the willing. Yes, sir. God loves to use the overlooked, the weak, and the willing. God uses those people who may not feel that in themselves they have what it takes to accomplish the will of God. God will use people who do not have the pedigree or the history or the education to get the job done. Maybe you'll remember some of these accounts from scripture that will let you know that who God uses is not often who we expect. There's two different categories in scripture. There's the expected category, and then there's the elected category. So who you would expect God to use when there was a tragedy and there was oppression in Egypt, you would expect God to use a skilled orator and a powerful negotiator to get the children of God out of Egypt. But God chose to use a man by the name of Moses who had a speech impediment. And he said, I'm going to put my words in your mouth and give you the power to convince Pharaoh to let my people go. This was not who the people expected, but this is who God elected. Maybe you would remember the story of David in scripture, where there was a man and a giant by the name of Goliath who was taunting the people of God, and King Saul, who was in the position but didn't have the authority or the umph to take down this giant, took off his mantle and said, I'm going to give it to this little boy. Though this little boy was not skilled in war, though he was not trained in battle, he put his armor on this little boy, and this little boy said, I can't wear this armor. I have not proven it. I'm just going to use a sling and five smooth stones to take down this giant named Goliath. Who they expected God to use was not who God elected to use in that season. And so we're seeing this thread throughout scripture that God says, I have need of you. Those who feel like I don't have what it takes, those who feel like I'm not, you know, thorough enough, I'm not called enough, God says, I have need of you. And so what man expects and who God elects are often far from the same thing. And I'm so glad that God does not take surveys to give us our calling. Amen? God does not take surveys. And so after telling this powerful story in the book of Luke 19 about the kingdom of God, Jesus, Son of Man, in the express image of God, went on toward Jerusalem. This is what we're celebrating today, the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, would go on toward Jerusalem. And I don't want to park here too long, but I want you to understand that there's something powerful about going on toward where God called you to be. There's something powerful about being a moving people in the army of God. I tell you this today, that a moving God deserves a moving people. And so Jesus portrays for us this idea of movement, and he's going toward the place of his crucifixion. He's going toward the place of his destruction. He's going towards the place of his final death. And so though he knows the pain that's coming, it does not stop Jesus from moving toward Jerusalem. And so I encourage somebody today, if you have a calling from God before you, go toward it. If you have a mission that God has placed in your heart, go toward it. If you have a ministry that is on your life, do not hold back, go toward it. If you have a prophetic ministry, if you have a prayer ministry, whatever it is, if God has placed something in your heart and in your life, I challenge you this morning to go toward it. Because our Savior did the same. Knowing what was to come, he ran toward Jerusalem. Look at your neighbor and say, go toward it. Go toward it. In Jesus' name. So Jesus has his disciples as he's going toward Jerusalem. Go ahead of him to Bethpage and to Bethany. And he tells them to go into a particular village. And Jesus says, as you enter this village, you will see a colt tied there that has never been saddled. And God is seeking those of us who are completely devoted to him. This is what the scripture speaks of. This colt, though frail and not the picture of royalty that they were used to for kings in that day, it had never been saddled, representing complete commitment to one. And so God is showing us also that he will use people and things that have seemingly been left behind, overlooked, and abandoned. Can I talk about the colt just for a few moments? This colt, though he was not a powerful animal, though he was not a picture of royalty or prestige, this colt was a picture of prophecy. One of the gentlemen said this earlier today, and I love it. Because Jesus was always so meticulous, and he was so sure that whatever he did lined up with scripture, for he is the fulfillment of the law. And so Jesus made sure that when he came into Jerusalem, that he came exactly as the scripture had prophesied the Messiah would come. And so this colt, though frail, though tied up, though bound, he had a mission sent from God to play a part in the eternal history of the gospel. So I want you to hear this today. Some of us have been tied up. Some of us have been isolated. And you thought your isolation was punishment. Can I tell you that your isolation was not punishment from God? It was preparation for the things that God would do in your life. That isolation is not punishment. It truly is preparation for what God would do in your life. And I want you to hear this. Some people have been spending many Fridays alone by yourself. And you thought that, man, God, I don't like this. God says, I am preparing you. For it is in isolation that God does his best development. Do you remember that David was on the backside of a mountain by himself tending sheep before he was called into the kingdom? Do you understand that there were many times in scripture where Jesus would be alone by himself and God would pour into him the strength to carry the call that was upon his life? So if you've been experiencing isolation, I want you to hear that in the Holy Spirit today. It is not punishment. This is preparation for the call of God that is on your life. So you don't have to be upset about it. You don't have to argue with your friends about it. You might not be in the group chat. They're not going to invite you to the parties. It's okay. They're just gossiping anyway. You know, you might not be the favorite friend. It's okay. You might not be the person that gets the phone call on the weekend. It's okay. This isolation is preparation for the calling of God on your life. So it's okay to be left behind sometimes. It's okay not to be invited. But I want you to see what God does with this lonely colt. You see, this colt that had never been saddled before, God said, go into the village. Go into this village where I'm leading you and untie it and bring it here. I need somebody just to shout that out. Untie it. Untie it. So this is a beautiful thing about God. Before God uses us in a mighty way, what he begins to do is break off chains off of our lives. He begins to set us free from things that have held us captive. He begins to break fetters and chains and bondages that have kept us from fully walking into the full stature of our ministry and calling. If you have had things in your life that you used to struggle with, that God has broken off of you, might I submit to you that maybe God is preparing you for a ministry? Maybe God is preparing you for a great calling? For it is in this text that we see God, through the person of Jesus, setting up a deliverance service and you didn't even know it. He says, before I even come into the place where this colt is, untie it. Before I even come into the place where I'm going to saddle this colt and enter into Jerusalem for my crucifixion, I need you to untie it. Before God uses you in your life, there will be a moment and a calling for freedom and deliverance where he's going to untie you for the work he has for you. Shout it one more time. Say, untie me. Untie me so that I can call whoever you need me to call. Untie me so that I can walk in the full stature of my ministry. Untie me so I'm not afraid of their faces. Untie me so that I'm not used to being quiet. Untie me so that the bondages of sin and addiction don't keep me. Untie me so that I can go forth in the power of your might. Untie me. This is what we see in this text. God is showing us a deliverance that is taking place right before our lives. And I want to submit to you in this room that some of you, God is untying you because you have a breaker's anointing on your life. There are things that have ran in your family and bloodline that God says it can't go any more beyond you. I'm going to release you. I'm going to untie you so that you can untie the next generation. I'm going to let you go so that you can be a deliverer for the people that come after you. Shout it again, untie me. This is what God is doing in this text. He's showing us that he is a deliverer. And before he uses this coat to carry the gospel into Jerusalem, he says, untie it and bring it to me. I'm so glad that God untied me. Sometimes we can be in church for so long that we forget where God had to untie us from. I know you all are dressed up and you have your suits on and you look good and you're smelling good, but how many people remember when God had to untie you from some stuff? Where he had to release you from some addictions and he had to pull you out of some clubs and he had to get that taste of something out of your mouth and he had to keep you out of somebody else's bed. I know y'all looking at me funny, but some of you remember when God had to untie you. Now, one thing that I will never do is get into the presence of God and forget where he brought me from. I know where he brought me from. You know, the songwriter said he brought me from a mighty long way. Though we've been serving God for years, we know where he found us. We know he found us in depression, in our mess. We thought we would die there, but God said, no, untie that man, untie that woman so they can be used for the glory of God. I'm so glad. And so for this reason, the deliverance that Jesus speaks over this coat, it shows us that nothing that's on our lives can remain. These things have to let us go. If you've been dealing with depression, it has to let you go. You have too much call to be bound. If you've been dealing with suicidal ideations, you have to let it go. I'm going to talk about it because you can no longer be bound there. The Lord has need of you, so you can no longer be bound. You can no longer be bound to stress. You can no longer be bound to even poverty. You can no longer be bound to, you know, history and generations of divorce in your family. You can no longer be bound. So God is saying, I'm going to break these things off of you because they no longer can keep you tied up. God, thank you for untying me. So I'm going to move on. I'll get excited at one point and I'll stay there too long. Jesus goes on to instruct his disciples. And he says, if anyone asks what you are doing, tell them you are untying this coat because the Lord has need of it. The deliverance of God that has taken place in your life isn't just so you can sit. It's not just so that you can come to church and warm a pew. It is because there is a work of God in your life. There is a mission and a calling of God upon your life that you have to fulfill. You have to fulfill it. He says, untie the coat because the Lord has need of it. It is not the coat's idea. It is the Lord's idea for the coat to be freed and used for the glory of the gospel. So when the Lord has need of you, God will move heaven and earth to set you free. God will break up relationships and friendships that you thought you would have for the rest of your life because the Lord has need of you. God will allow you to not be able to get along with some certain family members because the Lord has need of you. So these things that are taking place in your life are only because the Lord has need of you. Jesus in this text, without laying aside his sovereignty, takes on the humble posture of one that is in need. Like I said, not because he is deficient, but because Jesus is saying, I must fulfill all prophecy. The book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, the foal of a donkey. Jesus made sure when he showed up that they knew exactly who he was when he was coming into town. He said, y'all might not understand. You may have thought that a king would come in riding on some powerful horse or stallion, but I'm coming to show you that while I'm on this donkey, I'm showing you the messianic prophecy fulfilled, that I am he who has been prophesied from the Old Testament. I am he who is coming to rescue the world. And so Jesus fulfills all messianic prophecy and shows up simply riding on a coat. And the Bible says that the disciples went on to find the coat tied up in the village, just as Jesus said. Just as Jesus said. There are some things that God has shared with some of you in this room, and I want you to understand it's going to happen just as Jesus said. God has shown you some things about your life, and you've been wondering, God, when will it come to pass? Will it ever come to pass? What is that vision that you've shown me? Was it just, you know, a tease? I want you to hear me and hear me clearly. It's going to happen just as Jesus said. Jesus gave them forewarning and forenotice that you're going to go into this city. You're going to see this particular village. There's going to be this coat tied up, and you will untie that coat, And people are going to ask you, why are you untying the coat? And you will be able to say, for the Lord has need of it. Before they ever stepped into the place where they were, God already knew everything that was about to take place. So I want you to hear this in the Holy Spirit. God has already seen your tomorrow. God has already seen your next week, your next month, and your next year. And he has shown you some things that have not taken place yet. But I want your soul to take courage that it is going to happen just as Jesus said. There are some things that you have had in your heart. There are some things that you've had in your spirit. And you say, I know this is a word from God. Do not be discouraged because of the delay in it arriving to your house. It is going to happen just as Jesus said. So those of you that have received these words, I want you to keep holding on to it. Do not cast away your confidence in God, for it has great recompense of reward. Hold on to those words that God has given you, for it will happen just as Jesus has said. So the disciples simply replied to those who were asking. They said, the Lord has need of it. You don't have to be fancy in your response if people are asking you, why are you different? Why are you doing this? You just say, because the Lord has need of me. You seem like you've changed in some way. You say, it's okay. You know, the Lord has need of me. You knew me back then. I want to introduce you to me now. I am a different person now, for the Lord has need of me. And so we hear this echo throughout this text that the Lord has need of a colt. The Lord has need of such a fragile and simple animal. The Lord didn't say, I have need of some lion and some mighty beast. The Lord said, I have need of a colt. So that I love that, because if we be honest, we are not as powerful as we think we are. This colt is really a picture of the people of God, fragile, desperate, needing the Lord to free us, needing the Lord to give us worth and value, needing the Lord to give us identity. And so we find such fellowship in how Jesus speaks to the colt. And we find our value and our worth in him saying, I have need of you. I have need of you. So for some of us, we can't fully see all that God is going to do in our lives, but I'm certain that it is going to happen exactly as the Lord has said. So this seems an underwhelming entrance as Jesus mounts this colt. If we look at this picture in comparison to Christ's contemporaries during the day, it could seem an underwhelming entrance for a king. It could seem, oh man, this is just such a simple entrance. But what I love about it is the people who knew who Jesus was, they made sure that everybody around them knew it was a party. The Bible says that as Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, the people began to throw their coats over top of the colt. And they began to pour out their coats on the road ahead of Jesus. And they began to grab branches from the trees. And they began to wave the branches. They began to sing, you know, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And I'm about to close, but I want you to hear something here. When the world doesn't value our Jesus, we have to remind them who Jesus is. Though they may not take notice of all the things that God is doing in our lives, we have to remind them of Jesus is who Jesus is. They took off their coats. They took off their dignity and their prestigious, you know, garments, and they threw them at the ground before the one who was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is our right and our responsibility to remind a nation and a culture and a community that this is the same Jesus who was risen from the grave. I know we're going ahead of ourselves, but is it okay if we get excited about what's to come? They threw their coats down and they said, this is the Jesus who we've seen perform miracle after miracle after miracle. It's okay to be excited about what God is doing in your life. It's okay for you to tell your testimony to your neighbors and to your coworkers so that they know this is the Jesus of Scripture. And I am filled with joy to have him as a part of my life. So they made sure that when Jesus came into the city, that he received a king's entrance and a king's welcome. And they gave their coats and laid them on the ground and put them over the donkey. And they prepared a procession for the King of Kings. And so I'm so grateful today that we get to play a part in allowing this culture and this nation to see Jesus for who he truly is. We get to play a part in celebrating the entrance of the Savior back into Jerusalem. We get to celebrate the fact that our Lord and Savior did something that has changed all humanity for all history. And so I'm so grateful, I'm so thankful, I'm so glad to share with you that the Lord has need of you. The Lord has need of you.
The Lord has need of the praise that you give. The Lord has need of the obedience that you give. The Lord has need of you. So today, church, we pave the way to resurrection. We pave the road to resurrection with our praise and with our worship and with our honor and with our reverence. And we are reminded today that the Lord has need of each and every one of you. Even with your flaws, even with your uncertainties, even with your shortcomings, not fully convinced, I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord, our God, has need of you. God bless you.